This morning, I endeavored to preach some from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, where the Apostle Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Paul could have gloried in his education, in his religion, in his zeal. He could have gloried in the fact he wrote so much of the New Testament. He could have gloried in the fact that he could speak seven languages fluently. But he didn't glory in any of that. He gloried in the cross. And I believe that is having reference to the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Now in that last expression, in verse 14, our beloved apostle is explaining to us the effect that the cross of Christ was having on his life in this world. He said, "By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I am to the world." The cross makes a difference between in us when we are born again. When we are dead in sin, it's all about us. But when we're born from above, it's less of us and more about him. And Paul is saying that his cross, his death, has made a difference in my life, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know, if somebody came in here tonight during this worship service while we're trying to sing and pray and preach and worship God and love one another, if somebody came in this door tonight drunk, under the influence, and cursing and swearing, we would be crucified to that, wouldn't we? That doesn't belong in the house of God. The cross stands between us and that kind of behavior. By the same principle, if I took my Bible and went down to a honky-tonk or a bar where they're drinking and cursing and having a lot of fun, and I got up on a table and started preaching Jesus, they would be crucified to that. Y'all see the difference. I wouldn't be any more accepted there than they would be here. And the cross and Jesus makes the difference. And you and I, beloved, need to understand that. We need to be crucified to this world. There are three things that are our enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the Bible tells us we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're not to love that. And the flesh, what are we to do with the flesh? We're to crucify it, to mortify it. And the devil, the Bible says we're to resist the devil. Now let me tell you, if you do all that, you got you a full-time job to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. But as we keep our eyes on the crucified Savior and how much he loved us and what he did for us in his death, it will greatly help us in our spiritual life. And as you and I are bearing the burdens of this broken world and trying to live for Jesus, we need all the help we can get from him. And I want tonight to share with you some thoughts on Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, where Jesus said to his disciples, he said in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." those of us who are trying to live godly lives, separated lives unto the Lord, need to come to Him daily for help. And Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Now we know that word, come unto Jesus, is not being addressed to people that are dead in sin. If somebody's dead in sin and in love with this world, they cannot come to Jesus. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, let's look at what he would say in John's Gospel, chapter 10. He would say, no man can come unto me except my Father which hath sent me draw him. You remember that passage. So men dead in sin cannot come to Jesus of their own will and their own strength and their own ability. Jesus says, no man can come except my Father which hath sent me draw him. That passage is in John chapter 6. But then notice in verse 37, Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So what does Jesus mean when he says in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me? He's talking about in the new birth, in being born again, in being drawn to Jesus by the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit. All that the Father giveth me. When did the Father give these people to His Son? He gave them to His Son in a covenant before the foundation of the world. And now Jesus says, everyone the Father gave me will come to me by sovereign grace and will be born again, born from above. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And yet, in the same verse, in the same chapter, verse 44, Jesus says, no man can come to me. How are y'all gonna divide that? Jesus says, all shall come, and then he says, none can come. How are we going to rightly divide that? I remember hearing this illustration many years ago. A preacher was trying to get people that were dead in sin to come to Christ for eternal life. And he had a magnet, and he had a little finishing nail on the pulpit, and then he had a larger nail, and then he had a railroad spike. And he held that magnet over that little nail, and immediately the magnet drew the nail to itself. And he said, that little nail represents little children. He says, it's so easy to get little children to come to Jesus in order to get eternal life. But he held the magnet over the bigger nail, and it struggled. It was hard for that nail to be drawn to the magnet. He said, now that nail represents young people. Grown people that are young, involved in the world. It's hard to get them saved. And then he held the magnet over that big railroad spike, and it wouldn't move. And he said, that spike represents old people that are dead in sin. You can't do anything with them. You can't get them saved. Now, what's wrong with that illustration? There's one big problem with that illustration. If that magnet is representing God, the preacher just didn't have a magnet big enough. Are y'all with me? If God wants to call an old man or woman to himself and give them eternal life, he can do it. How many of y'all believe in a big God? A sovereign God. A God with all power. A God that can call Saul of Tarsus to him on the Damascus Road. Or he can call the little child. Or he can call the old. He's a sovereign God. And when he gets ready to draw one to himself, to give them eternal life, he doesn't need any help from you, me, the preacher, or anybody else. He does it sovereignly. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How many is coming? All that the Father gave him. The entire elect family will come to Jesus by sovereign, irresistible, and unconditional grace. And he will give them eternal life. And no man can come to him except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And that word draw is like drawing a bucket out of a well. The bucket doesn't help you draw itself out of the well. The bucket is drawn out of the well by somebody that has the power to draw it out. And I'm telling you this evening, no man can come to God unless God draws him sovereignly. But God does it in amazing grace. I tell you, we worship a sovereign God here. Not a God that would like to do but can't do. I remember years ago I was asked to take part in a funeral service in a church that believed that you had to do something in order to get people to come to church in order to be saved for heaven. And I'd heard this about this church and the pastor they had, and he was desperate to get people to come to church. And he told the congregation, he said, if you all will fill this building up next Sunday, I will baptize a goat. Now that's a gimmick, isn't it? And I heard that they did, and he did. The next time he wanted a big crowd, he said, if y'all will fill this building up, I'll get up on top of the building and preach a sermon to you. And I'd heard about these gimmicks the pastor was using, and I got there that day for the funeral, and up over the pulpit was a banner, and the banner said, whatever it takes. And I sat there for a moment, and I hate to tell you all this, but I sat there and kind of laughed at that. Whatever it takes. We're going to get you saved for heaven, whatever it takes. And then it came to me, I was convicted, and I thought, Brother Sam, these people are zealous. They're ignorant because they don't understand how sinners are saved, but they're zealous. And I shouldn't be laughing at what they're doing because they're zealous about it. And then the next thought I had, let me tell you what that was. Whatever it took, Jesus did it on the cross. How many of y'all agree with that? Everything it took to get God's children from this world to glory, Jesus did it in 6 hours on a Roman cross. Is it any wonder Paul would say, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't, listen, you might be thankful for your kids, thankful for your job, thankful for your house, thankful for your talents. Thankful, you know, be thankful for a lot of things, but only glory in Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me tonight? So when Jesus says here in John, in Matthew chapter 11, he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his children that have been born of the Spirit, and they're trying their best to live a good Christian life. And Jesus says, y'all come to me and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what, beloved? Jesus Christ didn't raise us from death and sin to life in Christ to be lazy. He called us to take a yoke. And you know what a yoke represents? You know, my generation experienced a lot of things that these young children here haven't experienced. But I remember seeing oxen yoked up to plow. Now, when you put a yoke on an ox, that ox was on that yoke. That yoke was on the ox because that yoke meant, Mr. Ox, we're fixing to go to work. We're going to plow. And you're yoked up to work and plow. Now Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? That means to get busy in God's work, in God's kingdom. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of y'all are glad that Jesus Christ is meek and lowly? I want to tell you, Brother Alec, if I had had to go to Moses, I'd have been scared to death. Because Moses had those ten commandments. And they say, do and live, don't and die. He was a stern lawyer. Moses was. But my Savior is meek and lowly. And little children gladly came to him, and he welcomed them into his midst. You know, if little children like you, that's a pretty good sign. Well, let me tell you, they loved Jesus, didn't they? And he welcomed them. You and I need to remember that our Savior is meek and lowly. He's not harsh. He's not mean. He's not unreasonable. He's not demanding. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's what we need to be doing in church. Learning about Jesus. Learning all we can about our Savior. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to just say tonight, beloved, that when Jesus calls us and we join the church, I believe God gives us gifts to be used to uphold and further the kingdom of God. And we all don't have the same gifts. Some have one gift, some have another gift. But whatever your gift is, if it's from God and God is in it, it will be easy for you to bear that gift. Now I want to just say right here, if a man is called of God to preach, I believe it'll be easy for him to preach. Anybody in the house want to just volunteer and try this? You're welcome. Let me tell you, I'm glad to call on anybody to help in opening our services. I am. And I appreciate Brother Alec, and obviously he has a gift, and that's a blessing. But let me tell you, when a man is called of God to preach the gospel, and he's given a gift, whether it's one talent, three talents, or five talents, it'll be easy for him if he is coming to Jesus and getting the help he needs. Are y'all with me? You got a gift to sing? Let me tell you, it'll be easy for you to sing in the house of God. And we thank God for people that have the gift to sing. Now, we all ought to try to sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and you're welcome. I tell our visitors, you're all in the choir. And that's true. But some just have a special gift to sing. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to hear them sing. We enjoy hearing their voices blend together in the house of God. We have brethren who are gifted in public prayer. All of us should be praying constantly, but some just have a gift when they come before the church and they begin to call on God in a fervent way. It just edifies the church. It lifts the church up. And I thank God for those brethren that have that gift to publicly pray in the house of God. Some people have the gift to make visitors feel welcome. You know, I go to a lot of churches, and I have been in churches, thank God, from here to California. I've been blessed to be in hundreds of churches in the last 60 years. And you know, you go into a church, and there will be people that will greet you at the door, and they make you feel so welcome. They make you feel like you're part of their church. Others are bashful. They stand back. But those that have a gift to be greeters and make people feel welcome, use that gift. We all ought to speak to our visitors. Now, I'm not telling anybody here tonight y'all ought to treat visitors cold. I'm not. But some people just have a way about them that just make you feel welcome. If you have that gift, use it. And go speak to visitors and make them know they're welcome in the house of God. Are y'all with me tonight? How many of y'all like to go to a church where they treat you like family? I do. How many of y'all like to go to a church where they act like they just rather you weren't even there? They don't even acknowledge you. That's not a house of love and prayer. Listen, if you've got a gift to greet people and make people feel warm and welcome, use that gift in a wonderful way. If you have a gift to encourage children, use that gift. We've got children in this house. And I want to tell you, you and I need to make them feel welcome and loved and important. When I was a little kid, we didn't have much chewing gum at our house. I mean, chewing gum was a specialty. I don't even remember Mom and Dad ever buying any gum. I don't. But I'd come to church and Sister Mamie Rozier would open that purse and I could smell that juicy fruit. Wow. You talk about a blessing. Sister Lois, Wade, Sister Minnie Bethune, those women just made you feel special in the house of God. That's a blessing, children. Acknowledge the children. Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I know a church here in Georgia that split because a young girl wanted to join the church. Elder Daugherty was pastoring them and they split. Because this fellow said, you shouldn't join the church until you're old enough to marry or drive a car. Well, I knew that was nonsense, and I was young. I knew that was bologna. That wasn't ribeye steak. That was junk food, brothers and sisters. And he came to our house, my daddy and mama's house, after I joined. I was 15. And he went in the living room and told me I had done wrong by joining the church. Y'all think that discouraged me? I had a good pastor, Elder Daugherty. I mean, Brother Daugherty straightened all that out. Are y'all with me tonight? Do y'all love the children and make them feel like they're part? And then there are people who are very special with old folks. I mean, they just have a gift to work with the elderly. I'm going to be looking for them. My sweet wife's wanting y'all to pray for me, and I appreciate it. But I'm telling you, old age does make a change in us. I want to be around somebody that's going to show me some kindness. Help me get up the steps. Those are gifts that we should be using in the church. And there are gifts we don't have. Tell my kids, when Nelda and I were living in Cochrane after we got married, we both got jobs at the school in Cochrane substituting. And the first job they gave me was pre-kindergarten. The longest day of my life. I have never in my life had a day that long. I mean, it just wouldn't end. Now, I love children. But I tell you, about 20 of them, preschool, they all wanted me to hug them, sit in my lap. I didn't have the gift. I told the principal that afternoon, I said, These teachers ought to be paid more than the president. Are y'all with me? But you know, there's people who can go in there and they just love every minute of it. It's a gift. Find out what your gift is and live in it and use it in the house of the living God. Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Let me tell you, brethren and sisters, there are people who are so good at ministering to the widow. And we, let me tell you, I'm excited about going to Sister Janie's house. We need to do that for Sister Joyce Little and others, that are in our church. We need to pay attention to them, not forget about them, not just put them on a homebound list and forget about them. We need to minister to the widows and the orphans. And some have a special gift in that. And use that gift. Now Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you're doing something and it's just awful burdensome to you, chances are it's not your gift. Because Jesus says, if I give you something to do, I'll be there to help you. Are y'all with me? Cooking is a gift. And I want to encourage all the cooks. I enjoy eating. How about y'all? I got a good amen out of that. He's a good cook himself. And listen, it's a blessing to be able to cook and bring food to the where there's a death in the family. Nelda and I got over to Sister Betty's Tuesday, and we took some food, and that house was just full of good food, especially desserts. And you know, that's a ministry, that's a gift that we all should be using if you're able to do it. And you say, Brother Sam, I can't. Well, I'll tell you where to go to get help. Go to Jesus. He said, come to me. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. Did you know that restoring people that have fallen into sin is a wonderful gift? I want to go back, to Galatians just a moment and notice something that the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, go out and gossip about him and tell everybody you can what a wretch he is. Wait a minute. Y'all wake up now. y'all are supposed to say, no, Brother Sam, that's not what the verse says. Brethren, if a man, and that's any of us, is overtaken by a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. What a wonderful gift that is. And we're all sinners. We're all men. We're all capable of falling into something wrong. And let me tell you, you and I, as a church family, need to go to that fallen brother and try to help him. You've seen that ad on TV. These people wear this thing around their necks and they press it and it says, I've fallen and I can't get up. And somebody rushes to help them up. That's what a church ought to do. Are we on the same page? Instead of, I want to tell you, gossip is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's a work of the flesh. And let me tell you, gossip has done a lot of harm in the house of God, in the family of God. And if you can't say it to somebody, you shouldn't say it behind their back. But let me tell you, if they've fallen, you pray for them. And you go to them in love. And you try to restore them, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I want to tell you, it's a beautiful thing for a church family to be able to restore someone that has fallen. Paul said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. And you know, I have seen that done in my lifetime over the last 60 years. I've seen fallen members restored, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Thank you all for your good attention tonight. May God give us understanding, is my prayer.